Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Hope you enjoyed our Friday edition of the Coach Spurrier Stories. A million people watched it, I know that. It was very good. It was very well done by our production staff. I want to give them a shout out. Appreciate them doing that. Today's show, we got JC here. We'll be talking about what's going on in the world of sports, and then we'll have Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com giving us his thoughts on the upcoming Cotton Bowl. But first, let's go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by JC. Good morning, JC. What's happening?
Hey, man. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year coming. And, you know, it felt, with the cold weather, it kind of felt Christmassy this year here in the area. It was nice. I went to Mississippi, came back. And getting ready to head out to Dallas on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday.
You could have gone early and went to the Cotton Bowl, JC.
Well, yeah, I could have gone to the Cotton Bowl. But the thing with these games, as you know, is that nobody's allowed in the stadium, or very few people are. But now, at least in Texas, they do allow people in the stadium because they realize that there's no true danger to letting people in the stadium, unlike half the rest of the country, in my opinion. So some stadiums let them in, some don't. You know, there's, I think, 16,000 seats available for the playoff game. I think for the Cotton Bowl, it'll be something similar to that on Wednesday, the 30th. So, you know,
there's only 3,000 are allowed in the Superdome.
Superdome. For Clemson, yeah, in New Orleans, they have a little bit more restrictive thinking in New Orleans than they do in Dallas, I guess. But the point is that there'll be somebody there to watch. At least families will be able to watch in the stadium. And you know, as we go through these bowl games, I guess if you can call them that, I don't really think they're bowl games; they're just games. And then, of course,
why are they not bowl games?
Well, because the teams don't experience the bowl; they don't have the bowl experience that they would typically have. They don't get to go out much. They travel a day before the game.
They actually Gators fly out tonight.
So they'll be playing in 2 days. So that's not a bowl trip. That's what that is that's going out to Texas and playing a football game against Oklahoma.
Well, here's what I'll say to that. And I'm pretty sure the kids, as long as the kids get their bowl gifts, they're okay not going on some damn roller coaster.
I don't know. Every time I see a football team on a roller coaster, they're all having a good time going like this, QB. Maybe you didn't go on a roller coaster when you went to the Gator Bowl.
I don't go on any roller coasters, no matter what the situation is.
I get it. but you know, obviously they're not going to go out to eat the same way they would typically.
Oklahoma and Florida are both staying in the same hotel. Nobody's allowed in this hotel but the two teams.
Yeah, there won't be any real intermingling socially at bars, restaurants, or other places for these teams. It's just a trip, and that's fine. I'd rather them, and I think the players certainly would rather do it than not do it. I think for most teams, not all teams, but most teams want to do this, and that's why they're going to play. And I think Florida will have enough weapons there to present a nice challenge to Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's pretty much. I don't know what their situation is on the injury front or on the COVID front, but I think it's pretty good. And Florida will be missing a few players like Kyle Pitts and so forth. But for the most part, they'll have Tony. They'll have some other guys in there playing. And this will be another opportunity for these players to showcase why they need to be at the next level.
So since you're against bowl games, I'm not.
I don't know if anybody watched the best
bowl game that we'll probably see all year long was played in Orlando the other night. Against Liberty and Coastal Carolina. Did you see the ending of that, JC?
Yeah, that was great. And I thought Liberty had fumbled it away, but they didn't. And they almost did, but they won it. And it was very entertaining to watch. I'm not disputing that some of these are good. You know, some are good, some are bad, like typically is always the case, but a lot of teams have decided they're not going to participate. And you've seen that because there's a reduction in the number of teams playing and in the number of bowl games being played. So that's fine. I mean, this is the year we are in, and I think most of the kids who are able to play in this bowl season, if you can call it that, are happy to be doing it, I think. So, you know, some are, but that's fine. Those teams have nothing to really get out of this extra game like these other teams do, and there's no 15 practices or nothing like that. So, I mean, it's just an extra game for us to watch.
Gators are practicing twice, and they're mostly walkthroughs. Yeah. So I'm not sure what to expect in this Cotton Bowl. Pitts is out for sure. I'm not sure if any other people have opted out. We may know more when they run out of the tunnel. Oklahoma has a couple of DBs that have opted out. But it should be an interesting game because neither team – I don't know how much Oklahoma's practiced. I know we haven't practiced, but we're going to practice, I think, twice total. Let's go to the NFL real quick, JC. Did you see the Dolphins game the other night?
I saw it. And I watched the whole game, and it was a wildly entertaining game. You know, at first I was surprised Derek Carr played with his groin injury, but he seemed very effective, didn't seem to be bothered by it. And Miami was completely ineffective, I think, with Tua at the quarterback position, and they decided they wanted to win the game, so they put Ryan Fitzpatrick in to win the game, and that's how it worked out for him. But it was a wild game, and I'm happy for Miami for sure.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with what John Gruden and them did. I mean, it was not a fluke how they won the game. It was an unbelievable play by Fitzpatrick.
By not scoring a touchdown is what you're talking about.
They got the penalty. But I read somewhere, since Gruden won since Gruden's won the Super Bowl with all of Tony Dungy's players, is how they phrased it, he's had a losing record every year except once.
And
he doesn't even have a 500 head coaching record. So my question to you is, do you think John Gruden's overrated?
Well, I think his record in December speaks for itself. I mean, his teams, for some reason, whatever the case may be, really have a problem finishing out a regular season. If you look at his record in December, typically, it's very poor. And I'm starting to wonder about – you know, the way he coaches offense, it's very complex, let's just say that, in many cases, because I've heard a lot of guys complain about the, you know, the expansive playbook and so forth. And I don't know. I mean, I think the problem with the Raiders this year is obviously defense. And I don't know. He's an offensive guy, so I don't know what he's doing with his defensive teams. But his defensive teams are weak. I mean, they're not good. And the best defense he ever had was the one that Tony Dungy had in Tampa that he took over. And sure, they won the Super Bowl, which Dungy couldn't do. But defensively, these teams are not—they're not good. I mean, the Raiders are terrible in the defensive side. And the way Miami pulled that game out was very similar to the way that they pulled it out against the Jets with a broken coverage there. Inexplicably with 19 seconds left and a wide open guy on the sideline.
Yeah, but even though that
the safety didn't play. He didn't cover the quarterback.
I mean, we got a Facebook Live here by Gene. Gene says, "Good morning, JC with the fans hat today. Shane, how good was that throw by Fitzpatrick? It was an unbelievable throw. I don't know if he even saw it. I mean, because he got yanked down by his
helmet
face mask.
Yeah.
But no, it was an unbelievable play, and I still cannot figure out why they play Tua. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, the game's too fast for him right now. I think that's the case. I mean, he doesn't react quick enough to avoid the rush, and he takes sacks, which is better than turning it over, of course, but he's not getting the ball out, and he's having a hard time. The protection's not that bad, and yet he's having a hard time you know, getting the ball out and getting it downfield. I think the game's moving a little too fast for him. I think he will adapt to that as he plays more. But it does kind of confuse me why Brian Flores, you know, who needs this game against Buffalo, because that would take away any doubt for their playoff hopes, because they're still not in the playoffs if they lose to Buffalo. If they win Buffalo, they beat Buffalo, they are definitely in. Right now they are in, but they would have to seal that by beating Buffalo. And I don't see how their chances of beating Buffalo are better with Tua right now than they would be with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's got so much experience and has won games and basically pulled this game out for the Dolphins. So if you don't put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, and credit to Coach Flores for putting him in, good decision there, because it helped them win the game and they won the game. But the idea of coming back now to Tua to play a game in a harsh environment in Buffalo, perhaps, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, QB.
Well, blind guy in Buffalo. I'll be shocked if Tua is the quarterback next week.
Well, he has already been listed as a starter.
Yes,
I saw that yesterday, on Twitter. Now, look, this is the Miami Dolphins, this is what they're saying. He's going to be the starter. And so I can't explain it. I mean, if I were working in the press down at Dade County, the first question I'd say is, why are you going to start a guy who is ineffective and basically you required the backup to win the game for you and keep your playoff hopes alive? Why would you come back to the guy that was ineffective? I just wanted to hear – I'd love to hear the rationale because there has to be something.
You know, refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. December is your lucky month at WrapSpot. Mention promo code Shane to receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC here on the Titanomar hotline. What's
real
up?
Real quick, before you go back, the decision by Gruden not to score the touchdown, I don't have a problem with that because we saw what Todd Gurley did to the Falcons when he did score the touchdown and then they lost the game because there was too much time left on the clock. But in this case, a touchdown for the Raiders would have forced Miami to score a touchdown instead of just a field goal. And there is something to be said for having to go further down the field than the 35-yard line or 30-yard line because that kicker for Miami has shown he's very, very good. So you don't want to put your defense, even though there was only 19 seconds left, we saw it was enough time to get that team in field goal position. It was a bad decision. I think he should have scored the touchdown. Looking back, it's all hindsight and it's all 20-20. But I understand why he did it because in the past that has hurt teams by scoring too early. But in this case, they needed a field goal to win the game as opposed to a touchdown, and they did. They got the field goal.
Yeah, and it's the same way with the Liberty game. I had no problem with what Hugh Freeze and them were trying to do, but here's what I would do. I would not hand the ball off. Give it to a guy who touches the football on every play and just let him take a knee there. You know? I mean, you got a chip shot field goal to win it. I don't know why you would even hand it off.
No, and I think that's true. I think it just expands the chance for something bad to happen. It's like when these guys take, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I don't like standing in shotgun 5 yards behind the ball when you need an inch and a half to get a first down. Those kinds of things just irritate me to no end.
Well, having said that, did you see how the Cleveland Browns lost yesterday?
Well, I also knew they were going to lose because they had no players on the outside.
But did you see how they lost the game?
I didn't see the game. I just saw the score.
They have the ball on the 20-yard line, fourth and one, to go ahead, and they ran the quarter fourth and a couple of inches. Baker Mayfield underneath ran the quarterback sneak, and as he snuck in there, got clobbered and fumbled, and game was over.
Yeah, I guess that can be a problem, but I've seen a lot more success going 2 inches than 5 yards. So, to me, it's just common sense. But I'm not an OC. But I think it makes more sense to do it that way.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. All right. So, back to college football. I still believe Hugh Freeze will be the next coach at Tennessee next year. I still believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for them to hire Pruitt or fire – I'm waiting for you to fire Pruitt like you've been trying to do now. I don't know what you're waiting on, QB, but it hasn't happened yet. And, Hugh Freeze would be a great job. That would be a great job for him, I think. Tennessee's, what have they got to lose, right? I mean, an abject failure for 2 decades and have made some of the worst hires. And the process that they've gone through to hire coaches has been an embarrassment to the university, the athletic department, everybody associated with Tennessee football. And they've really gone from a program that was highly regarded to from a national champion, perennial contending program to a bottom dweller and a laughing stock. And that's the people who are running the program, making mistakes over and over again. They remind me of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They really do. They're the same type of failing decision-making type of people, and they don't know what they're doing, and they lose, and it shows on the field. And Phil Fulmer does. I can't believe that he would sit there and do nothing with the state that program is in. But they like
he hired like, he I hired know, Jeremy so Pruitt.
He did, but at some point you have to swallow your pride, don't you, for the sake of the program? Because at the end of the day, it all flows up. The coach is to blame most of the time for a failing program or for a successful program, but the athletic director is his boss, and he's got to take control of the situation if he wants to have people give money. And Tennessee's not getting any of that right now, and it's understandable. Now, you bring in a guy like Hugh Freeze, in spite of his past and in spite of all the the hesitancy baby in the SEC of bringing a guy like that back into the program, because Auburn didn't do it, and we thought they would.
Yeah, but he's been cleared by the SEC.
But Auburn didn't even call him or interview him. So we don't know that. Well, okay, maybe they interviewed him, but it wasn't reported. And the thing is that he's got a chance to go to a potentially blue blood program that could get back on his feet. And I'd be surprised if nobody in the SEC brings him back, because these teams are dying. I mean, South Carolina right now is such a bad situation. They're losing players. They've got no direction. I know Shane Beamer is there, but who cares, right? I mean, it's going to take them years to get right.
Yeah,
if they get right at all.
JC, when you talk South Carolina, Tennessee, it's like night and day. South Carolina had a 10-year run that will never happen again in the school history.
Yeah, they won some games for sure. But
yeah, it'll never happen again. I don't care who you hire.
Well, Tennessee has won before, and Tennessee was a program that dominated the East Division at one point, or at least co-dominated it. And Georgia used to not be a problem for Tennessee. Florida was an even matchup, and now and they would compete with Alabama, but now they're just a joke. So they have to. I'm in agreement with you. They have to call in somebody who can shake it up, bring some exciting football to the school, bring some threats to score points, put them on the field, and watch them go. And Jeremy Pruitt's a defensive coordinator. That's what he is. And he was one of Alabama's best ever defensive coordinators. So as a head coach, though, I think he's just having trouble. Now, they're not recruiting badly, but on Saturday they have problems.
Some guys just aren't head coaches. And yeah. they suck on offense, by the way. Coach Muschamp, looks like Will Muschamp will be working for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan as a defensive coordinator. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's a good job. Football coach is coach. It's the most important thing. Jim Harbaugh could probably use his help. I don't know. Don Brown, at one point we all thought how great he was and how smart he was, and they did compete at least on the field with Ohio State. Now they don't even want to, and so they need to get a mentality switch. And I think it was a good hire, because what Muschamp will bring is probably a more aggressive style of defense, maybe not, but it'll be better. And if it's better, that's good for Michigan, because they need all the help they can get. And I don't blame Will for taking that job for one minute, because it is a program that, has a lot of attention, and maybe he can get some traction and really do well there for Jim Harbaugh. But how long is Jim Harbaugh going to be around? If Will Muschamp signs up with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh scoots in a year, then he's out of a job again. So,
well, he's getting paid a lot of money from a bunch of different schools, so I don't think he's worried about that.
No, but you asked me what about him going to Michigan. I think it's a good move, but again, it could be a short-term move.
It could be. Also, some news in college football, if you missed it, De'Arik King, the quarterback at Miami, is coming back for another year, which I don't know why that's a big – where the hell was he going to go?
No, and I think, a guy like that who thinks he's an NFL player needs another year to show it. And so I think it's a good move for him.
Wait. Just repeat what you just said.
I think a guy who thinks he can play at the next level is probably best served to stay another year in college and show it, because right now he's not in the first round, second round, or third round.
I'm going to tell you right now, so, he has zero chance of playing quarterback at the next level.
QB, after watching Dwayne Haskins and after seeing when he got drafted and after seeing all these quarterbacks that get drafted who are terrible, these NFL guys aren't as smart as you think they are.
They're smart enough to know that De'Arik King cannot play quarterback in the NFL.
Probably.
He's going to have to be a slot receiver.
A lot of guys are playing in the NFL that shouldn't be playing quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot
of them. Yeah, but here's the thing about Haskins. Haskins is a big human being that could at least looks good throwing the ball on air.
I never thought he was
great at Ohio State.
Yeah,
and I'm not 100% Justin Fields is going to be a great quarterback at the next level. That's why I think Zach Wilson will be the second quarterback taken in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, that's not a hot take, as they say, QB. I think that's pretty accurate. No, it's not. Everybody knows Zach Wilson's going to be drafted in the first round. He's probably going to be the second, like you said, or third quarterback. Yeah, I mean, is that a surprise? I mean, that's not a surprise.
Well, a lot of people don't know who the hell Zach Wilson is, okay?
Well, then they don't know what – they don't follow football, okay? They don't follow football. It is interesting. You mentioned Miami, this King kid coming back, and he'll get his first game in 2021 against Alabama. because some of these opening weekend games have been announced in college football, and they include Miami against Alabama. Florida State is going to play against Notre Dame. Maybe Notre Dame is making that move now to be more of a full-time ACC team. I don't know, but maybe. And then we've got a good one with Georgia and Clemson playing in the opening. That used to be a really great rival. I mean, Georgia and Clemson are two schools that are within an hour and a half apart, and the fans love that rivalry. It's good that they're playing that again. And so Georgia and Clemson are going to start it up next year, as will those other two I mentioned. Pretty good.
Rick says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. South Carolina needs to do the 12th man thing that A&M did when Jackie Sherrill was there.
Yeah.
Alabama rolls into Gainesville next year as well, Dan
says. Yes, they do roll into Gainesville next year. And I think the fans will love it. Hopefully everybody will get to go into the stadium. I believe that'll be the case. And we'll have more of a normal type of season. I know Florida's going to try. I think they also play FAU. So we're going to get back to the 12-game season with three softies and an out-of-conference opponent, FSU, and then hopefully, and I guess we'll have eight conference games. But I sure did enjoy the 10. I like that they had the conference games being played. You know, I would have thought Florida fans would have loved to play Florida State this year and embarrass them, and that would have been fun for Gator fans for sure. But you know, we got what we got, and we're happy for it.
Hey, Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, $199 value. Our service department's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You listen to this, JC. This is our play this okay. on this day in sports.
All right.
1975, the Hail Mary with 32 seconds left in the NFC divisional playoff game. Cowboys quarterback Roger Staubach throws a legendary 50-yard winning touchdown pass to Drew Pearson to defeat the Minnesota Vikings, and the Hail Mary play was born.
They didn't call it a Hail Mary
before that?
No, that was the first time it had ever really happened, I think, and that just came out of that game. Because Dallas was beaten, and I was watching that game in 75. I remember it. I was 11, and Dallas was beat, and somehow they did it. It was like saying a prayer, and it happened for them. In Minnesota, you know, another cursed organization when it comes to the postseason. That's all I can tell you.
Well, JC, okay, so let's talk. Wednesday's a big day in Gator football. We got Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah. Yes,
but the Gators get back to the hardwood and play Vanderbilt, first SEC basketball game, first time we've ever been assembled since the collapsing at FSU.
Right.
So, big night. Gators, we play it.
It is.
What time is the Cotton Bowl, 8 o'clock?
So, the Cotton Bowl is an 8 o'clock Eastern start.
Basketball's at 9.
Right. So, you'll have a chance to watch both at the same time, and ESPN will have the game at AT&T Stadium there, and then the basketball team as well will be on. I guess ESPN2, we'll see. I can look that up, though. But the football game is important for Florida. They want to go out this season with 9 wins and have a special finish to the season because, you know, the way the LSU game ended, obviously the way the Alabama game ended, you know, I don't know. I know it's just a bowl game, but you don't want to get you don't want to put out a bad look against an Oklahoma team, because then you'll start hearing all these Big 12 people raise hell about how overrated the SEC is and so forth and so on. And we don't need Oklahoma to win that game. We need Florida to win that game. They should play very hard. They've got enough players to do it, in my opinion. They'll throw the ball all over the place. They are a 3-point favorite, which kind of surprises me because of the way Oklahoma's playing and the way Florida's ended their last two games. And I saw one of the former sports writers, Robbie Andrew, out the other day at a restaurant. And I thought to myself, you know, and maybe you've already said this, but since him and Pat left, they are 1-2.
Yes, so, we've stated that many times on this
show. Did we say that? Okay, well, I just thought it was funny. Oklahoma's won 7 games in a row, okay? They're a hot team right now. You don't need to go out and lay an egg in this game. I think they'll play hard, the Gators, and hopefully pull it out. They're a 3-point favorite.
Before we let you go, I saw this weekend the odds for the Heisman Trophy, which I think is going to be given out January 5th.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy now that Kyle Trask is like the fourth in the running now, supposedly. Mm-hmm. He was like plus 2,700. Mm. Devontae Smith is the favorite.
Right.
Were you surprised by that?
Well, look, I don't know if it's justified or not, but I will say it doesn't surprise me as much because of the way the last couple of games went. Now, Trask played great in the SEC championship game. He was the reason Florida stayed in the game. But, you know, I don't know. There just seems to be this thing outside of Florida where people look at Dan Mullen, they look at the Gators sometimes, and they don't give the Gators, I think, the credit that a team like Michigan would get if the roles were reversed somehow and Michigan was 8-3 and they were playing with a Heisman Trophy. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that, but it just feels like Florida gets a lot of scrutiny sometimes, more than they deserve. And certainly Dan Mullen has had somewhat of a tumultuous year off the field. Now, on the field, he's calling plays and dialing up touchdowns and doing a great job, of course. But there just seems to be a lot of attention, right, that Florida is this or Florida isn't that. And it does surprise me because of the year Trask has had, and he could certainly be the Heisman Trophy winner. But the odds have gone down does not surprise me. No.
Are you surprised that where the odds on Trevor Lawrence to win the Heisman Trophy is?
It's better, right?
Oh, he's like – it's like between him and Mac Jones are the same exact odds.
Yeah. No, because I think everybody was reminded how good that kid is there at the end of the season. To me, it seems like the end of the season seemed to be more of a sticking point for voters and writers than maybe earlier in the season. But if Devontae Smith wins it, it'll be the first time since, I guess, Desmond Howard won it as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time ago. And so maybe the voters are in the mood that, hey, we've got three great quarterbacks here. All of them deserve it, but who do you pick, right? And they've decided, well, you know, you can't pick any of them because they're all deserving. You only can pick one, so let's go with the wide receiver. It could happen that way.
Well, he's a pretty damn good player.
Oh, God. I mean, he is. He's one of the best Alabama's ever had, and maybe the best. So
I think he's by far the best.
Well, I mean, you know, they had a lot of guys do a lot of great things at the wide receiver position. And certainly the running backs, there's no school that can compare. So, you know, this is just what they have. And this is how they recruit. And they've got, you know, they got some kid out of Texas, a five-star running back just the other day out of Texas that was committed to Oklahoma. So when you can go into a place like that and pull players out of Oklahoma's commitment list or Texas A&M's commitment list, you're doing amazing things. And that's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean they're gonna have the top recruiting class.
Maybe the best they've ever had, though. That's the point. Yeah. Is that they've had a lot of good ones. This could be the best they've ever had on paper. We'll see how it plays out. But Florida's got players coming. They've got all they need to win a championship here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I really hope they play well though against Oklahoma because I don't need to hear the Oklahoma people all this Boomer Sooner garbage. I don't need that.
Regardless, as you have already stated, it's not normal. These bowl it's games not. Are not normal because people no. opt out. We
That's
still
right.
don't know. I think we have two or three guys that have opted out. Oklahoma's yeah. going to have their share.
Georgia's so got
really,
a bunch.
You're yeah. not. Yeah, Georgia's half their team ain't playing.
Yeah,
so
Georgia's got a
it
bunch.
Would not shock me if Cincinnati beats Georgia.
Absolutely not. In fact, I've counted on it by putting a little wager on Cincinnati when I was in Biloxi because I think
but,
that's an easy pick.
But – I still think Georgia has better players than
yeah.
Cincinnati.
When they're all lined up and everybody's got a full roster, there's no comparison between Cincinnati's team and Georgia's team. But this is not the same team.
I still think with the 10 or 12 or however many that are opting out,
that's
Georgia's roster is still way better than Cincinnati's roster.
Likely. Yeah, that's likely.
No, it
but
definitely
I
is.
Think, but I think you'll see Cincinnati play with more purpose than Georgia in that game. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But Cincinnati's going to make a point, and they're going to play this game as if it's the most important thing in their school's history. And this is certainly not the case for Georgia.
All right, JC. Anything else before we let you run?
Well, you know, we'll be calling Wednesday, and then Friday I'll be in Dallas. I'll give you a report from the area, and hopefully the Gators can get this done on Wednesday night. You know, look, let's just say this, with the way the season has gone, the fact that these teams were able to play a full schedule with the exception of, I think, two teams, Ole Miss and Texas A&M, is a real testament what the conference was able to pull off. It was extremely difficult, but everybody had to do it. So, you know, the championship game was one for the ages. So I certainly think that it's been a success, and it's going to be crowned with hopefully a big effort and a big win against the Sooners on Wednesday night.
We shall see. JC,
yep.
Be safe. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
You bet. Okay, thank you.
At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. Going to take our first time out of the program here. When we come back, we'll be joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Scott Carter. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Tim, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Ribs, Doreen B. Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside,
Radware for all your promotional needs,
Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance.
If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We're now going to go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by our good friend Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Good morning, Scott. How are you, my man?
Shane, what's going on, buddy?
Have a hope you had holiday. Hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, I had a good Christmas, and trying to get back into the work mode a little bit and heading out to Dallas today for the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, you know, it's unique. I was talking to JC about it because, you know, I got a little inside information, obviously, about, you know, the bowl practices and things like that. It's very weird. It reminds me a lot of in the NFL when you play that Sunday game and then you turn around, you have to play the Thanksgiving Day game when you don't have a whole lot of time to prepare. Yeah. Now, we had time to prepare, but we had to give our kids time off for Christmas and things of that nature. So, basically, we're only practicing two or three times, mostly walkthroughs, and then we're going to go play a game.
Yeah, got back Saturday, practiced, and then you're right, Sunday, Monday, get out there. They'll have, I guess, a day of you know, practice out there, and then the game's Wednesday night. So it is an unusual schedule, Shane, but hey, man, it fits so perfect the way to cap off this year, you know. So this is par for the course for 2020. The Gators – obviously, it's an intriguing matchup just from Oklahoma-Florida matchup. I mean, both of these offenses, it kind of reminds me a little bit of how you looked at the Alabama-Florida matchup. I mean, you knew it could very well be a shootout. It ended up being just a shootout. And I look at this game in much the same light. So I'm curious to see how they go out there, how they respond to some of the circumstances you just mentioned in the short prep week. And then, of course, can they rebound after a couple of tough losses?
Yeah, we've had a couple of Facebook Lives brought to you by Meldon Law. A couple of people ask, who do we know that has opted out? I think publicly we do know that Kyle Pitts and Sean Davis, I believe, have opted out. And again, you may know others or may not, but publicly, are those the only two that have announced?
Yeah, I mean, Pitts was the first, obviously. Sean Davis – he's been out injury-wise, but, you know, it's out there that he's not going to play. And then, of course, there's speculation, you know, whether Kadarius Toney or Trayvon Grimes might be on that list. I look at it like this, Shane. We'll see, I guess, when they board the plane this afternoon. I know Toney was at practice when they got back the other night, so that was a good sign. But then again, you know, these guys are – a lot of people are in their ear this time of year. You know how this works. They're balancing the future with just, you know, going to play one more college game. So it won't surprise me if there's a couple more guys who aren't out there, but until like I said, they get on the plane. I really don't know exactly who.
We feel pretty good that number 11 is going to get on the plane, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's opted out, Shane. I think he's you know, we already knew what he was about, but even more so, I think just with if you listen to his comments after that Alabama game, I mean, that really – it was a huge disappointing loss for the Gators, but more so just he took that one tough because he really thought they were going to win that game. That at the end, they ran out of time, and I would imagine he would love nothing more to – you know, he's getting back to his home state, so he's getting to play a bowl game where he's from. I'm sure he'll have a lot of family and friends there. And he's still – you know, even though the Heisman votes are in, he's a finalist. I don't know how that's going to shake out. It seems at this point he's probably a long shot to win it, but you never know. I mean, I've seen stranger things happen. So he's got a lot to play for.
He really does. And you know, I guess what I was going to ask you, is there any small chance he decides to come back to school?
You know, I mean, I would be shocked. I haven't sensed anything like that. Internally, he hasn't hinted anything like that. Obviously, I was very surprised when I saw Derek King said he's coming back.
But here's my thoughts about him. Yeah. He can't play quarterback at the next level.
Yeah, totally different circumstance. It's just in today's world when a guy does come back who, you know, he maybe goes to the NFL and plays receiver. I don't know, but Kyle Trask, his future is right there. I don't know, Shane. Can he do anything to really help himself at this point in terms of the NFL? I mean, I know he can still accomplish a lot in the college game and maybe have another great season, but I think maybe his value in the eyes of NFL scouts and personnel directors is probably at an all-time high. So I would be very surprised if he doesn't come out and, you know, well, I'm sure he'll let us know soon enough.
We're speaking with Scott Carter here on the Titan MR Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We got a Facebook Live brought to you by Meldon Law. It comes from Danny. He said there's a rumor out there, Torian Gray, the DB coach to Carolina, that would really hurt us in recruiting. Now, I haven't heard that. I don't know if he's referring to the Carolina Panthers or to South Carolina. Have you heard anything about that, Scott?
No, that's kind of news to me, too. I mean, I've been kind of detached for the last few days. You know, this is the time of year when that's going to happen. If these coaches are going to be on the moves. And I won't be surprised to see, you know, they've had really good continuity under Mullen. But, you know, 3 years in, it seems like most of the issues that they're being pointed to right now are defensively. So, you know, maybe they do something there. Maybe Torian Gray has a better opportunity where he feels he can go and have a better role. I don't know. But as far as anything close to the happening, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, he just replied it was South Carolina. Speaking of the defense, obviously, you know, that's been the talk all year long. I personally think Todd Grantham was a very good football coach. I just think we play – you know, we all have our own opinions. I think we play too many players. And I don't know if I've ever asked you about this, Scott, but, you know, when you watch it, whether you're on TV or sitting in the stands or in the press box, how we shuffle guys in and out depending on our personnel packages. And it seems like every other series we have different DBs in there. We're rotating our D-line. And I think that's what where some of the confusion comes from. Do you think we play so many players to try to keep them happy? You know, because like I was telling somebody that asked me about this the other day, back in the day when you came in, unless you were just a freak, you were redshirting.
Yeah.
No matter what. Now everybody expects to play. I get it. But we need to play our best 11 until somebody's tired and needs to come out of the game, in my opinion. Do you think they do that to keep people happy?
Yeah, Shane, maybe there's that some of that element there. I hope if there is, it's not a big element because it seems to me that's going to be a recipe for a disaster.
Yeah.
I'm like you. You've got to have your best guys on the field. And, you know, I've had a lot of these conversations on the defense the last couple weeks too. And I mean, my bottom line is, Shane, I look at things, I just look at who is on the field. I just don't think the defense has enough playmakers. I mean,
I agree.
I think Kyrie Elam is a really good player. I think Ventura Miller's had a nice season. I think Brandon Cox Jr. is a very talented player who I think has a lot of room to grow. He's a little undisciplined right now in some of the things he does. But you look around that defense, and there's some guys who are playing a lot of snaps who probably are better suited for a reserve role, maybe not getting as much work as they have gotten. I just think it comes down to they're missing a couple of really big-time playmakers on that side of the ball. I really like Mahamudu Diabate's future. I think he could be a really good piece going forward. But I think they need some more players over there.
I agree 100%. And I said at the beginning of the year, I thought we needed to get bigger and nastier on the D-line. Mm-hmm. And I think Brenton Cox is a guy in the future that can really be that disruptor. Mm-hmm. But he's got to have big, nasty dudes around him to allow that to happen. And we don't have that. Nothing against who we have right now. Yeah. But we just don't have an SEC-caliber defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, some nice players over there. There's some talent, but you're missing a couple of those key pieces that make everybody else a lot better. And like what you just said about Cox, you're exactly right. If the interior line can generate more attention, he's able to do his thing on the edge a lot more. Or if you have a linebacker, just a dominant linebacker, who can do some different things in the passing game or putting pressure on him. I mean, it's just, you know, and I'm not a defensive coordinator. Todd Grantham knows defense more than I do. I just know when I look at that defense, even compared to Alabama, neither of those defenses played great in the SEC championship game, obviously. But you just looked at the Alabama defense and you saw a little bit more talent there. You saw some more size. And the Gators moved the ball great against them, so I'm not going to point that was the difference in the game at all. But you did recognize a little bit of a talent gap on defense.
Yeah, no question about it. We're speaking of Scott Carter here on the Titan MR Hotline. Scott, back to Kyle Trask. You know, maybe the greatest – well, it is the greatest season a QB we've ever had has had. You know, I know a lot of Gator fans – and he still could win the Heisman. It's just amazing to me how all the hype has just kind of gone away for whatever reason. And it's almost like Trevor Lawrence has even jumped ahead of him. And we all think it's between Mac Jones and Devontae Smith. And I have no problem with either one of them winning it. But are you surprised a little bit from a national standpoint how, you know, he was the favorite 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and now he's like the fourth guy. Yeah. Are you a little surprised about that?
You know, a little bit, but then I look at why. And you know, it all just goes back to that first half against LSU, Shane. Yeah. That was his, you know, kind of moment there to where a lot of people were seeing him, you know, prime time for the first time this year. And unfortunately for Kyle and the Gators, I mean, he had his worst half of the year. Really, he's probably his only really bad half of the year. And that took the momentum away from him. And then you come back and he certainly did nothing against Alabama to hurt himself in this conversation. I just think, you know, you look at the matchup with really two of your main competitors. Both of those guys have great games. Your team loses. I just think you add all that up and it's starting to catch up with Kyle. But again, everything you said is true in terms of, you know, when I look at the Heisman race, like if I'm a voter, I'm having a hard time voting for Mac Jones because there's another quarterback in the league who is by far having a better season than Kyle Trask. So I'm looking at it from Devontae Smith. He's certainly deserving. I mean, you look at his numbers, he's having an amazing season. But I tell you why, it's too bad. I mean, Najee Harris, he's late to the party here. But he could have easily – you could have voted for Najee Harris after I really looked at his numbers and what he did against Florida. I mean, you could have voted for him and been justified in every way. So I don't know how it's going to shake out. I'm kind of thinking it might be Devontae Smith. If I was a bet man, I think he might surprise some people. But Kyle Trask certainly deserves to be right there.
Yeah, you know, and it's a shame, too. Everybody has bad games. He basically had a bad half. If he has that bad half week two or week three of the year,
yeah,
no. You know, it's not in the voters' mind at that time. Scott, we got a text here on the Titan MR text line. It comes from Daryl. He wants to know, is there any chance of getting Jeremiah Moon back for the bowl game?
You know, he was up in Atlanta, at the SEC championship game. I thought he might play, didn't. So Jeremiah is one of those classic cases of a what if career to me, Shane. You look at him and man, he looks like he's going to be has all the tools that you want. You know, talking about playmakers on defense, but he just has not had the durability throughout his career, and it's really been unfortunate because I think he could have done some things. So you got to believe he should be motivated to get back out in the field if that foot and ankle is healed. But I just I don't know. It's one of those things where there's been a couple of games where I thought he might be back and he hasn't been. So it's just pure it's a game time decision, I guess, Shane.
Yeah, no question. Scott, I got a question for you. Has there been any talk about in the UAA or if you heard from the league office about spring football, you know, especially with so many kids now with early enrollees, they usually come early so they can get involved in spring practice. We just don't really know right now, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I'm sure that's one of the things that are on the table right after the bowl season. I'm sure they're already looking at that. But, yeah, I just don't know. As of right now, I just know from what Scott Strickland has said, everything going forward this spring in terms of UF athletics and SEC athletics is still going to be with the setup we have now and, what, you know, mass, social distance, all that stuff, limited capacity at crowds. So, you know, spring football obviously falls into that category. So, as of right now, you know, I think the team part of it, getting to practice, I think they've got a lot of that figured out. But as far as, a spring game and crowd and all that, I don't know anything yet, Shane.
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Mellon Law. Danny says, it surprises me that Doering or Tebow aren't pro Kyle. I think they both like Kyle Trask, but they also have to look at the big picture. They have to take their orange and blue glasses off and evaluate. And they get to see all the tapes. We don't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't get upset with them or whatever. I don't think either one of them are voters. Well, Tebow's a voter. Doering's not a voter.
Yeah.
But I think Doering said who he would have voted for. I think he had Devontae Smith, and obviously he's a wide receiver. He appreciates what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a tough vote. I mean, it's fun to actually have a Heisman race where it is kind of up in the air because most of the time these things – you already know who's going to win by now. And so it's unique this year in that way. It's just unfortunate that, you know, our audience and Gator fans, Shane, I mean, they had the guy who I think would have won it if they could have just beaten LSU and he had a better game. I think even the loss to Alabama with the way he played, I think he could have still won the Heisman Trophy with what happened in Atlanta if they had taken care of business against LSU. I just look at the LSU game as being devastating on a lot of levels, you know, for the Gators.
Yep. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. A few more minutes with Scott Carter from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Okay, we won't have you on. We may have you on next week to recap the game, but we appreciate everything you've done for us during football season. Who do you think in the 14 playoff? I mean, I think we all know, but who do you expect to play for the national title?
You know, I mean, I'm going to say like a broken record, like everybody else. I'm Alabama, Clemson.
Yeah,
that's who I think will play for it. I think Alabama's going to win it. I just, you know, I don't follow Alabama. Obviously, I don't look at them every week, but when the Gators played last week against them, I kind of dug through their notes, you know, that they provide the media. And I was looking through there, and like some of the things that they've done with Nick Saban just blows my mind. And
oh, it's crazy.
I mean, I still remember Shane when this was way back in 2007. I was actually in still newspapers covering Florida State for a couple of years. I remember they played Alabama over in Jacksonville. And they won with Xavier Lee came off the bench to beat Alabama. And I still remember seeing Nick Saban post game. I guess this would have been his second season there. And I've never seen a coach just walking through the tunnel back before the media, man. You could just tell that was one angry coach right there. And obviously he got it together, and it just blows my mind where they've come. And he's going to go down as the greatest college football coach in history, in my opinion. won't be surprised if they do it again.
No, it's they have it rolling with the facilities they have, the tradition, and winning. You know, winning and facilities go hand in hand, and I can't wait till our facility. Speaking of our facility, I know they're doing all the underground stuff. We're a little behind because of COVID, but I can't wait until that thing is done. It's definitely going to help our recruiting.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that it's going to be such a nice complex, and it's going to really just not only add a cool feature there on campus where it's going to be with connected with the indoor facility, but you're right. It's going to give a boost to the program that it's never had before. So it's going to get them on par with all these other Power Five schools, the elite ones. And, you know, whatever your thoughts on how much difference is that going to make on the field, who knows? You have to look at that long term. But without question, players will come here. That's very intriguing to them, very appealing. And you get good players, you have great teams. And you got to do that in this day and age, Shane. And Florida's finally getting into that mix.
Yep. Last thing for you, Scott. Keontae Johnson, we all know, went home with his family. We know he's not playing basketball this year. Haven't heard. I don't know if it was career ending, it was season ending. It's great that he's home with his family. Gators go back to the court Wednesday night while we're playing football. Just any update you can give our listeners on Keontae?
You know, I know he's been back at the facility. Obviously, basketball is not part of it right now. But he's been back around his teammates, back over the facility this week. And I think now it's just, you know, a matter of him getting fully healthy and getting cleared. And, you know, there's still a lot of unknowns there, Shane, in terms of, you know, his health and what does this mean for his future. But in terms of just what a turnaround that has been in the last 2 weeks. I mean, I was really thinking some of the most grim thoughts when I first saw that. And just hearing the early reports and the internal tone, and then to see him turn it around like he did, and now he's out of the hospital. It's an amazing story. You just hope that whatever his issues are, that he can get healthy. And if he still, you know, could play basketball, if he still wants to do that, that maybe someday he can, you know, follow his dream there.
No doubt about it. It's a wonderful story, obviously. All right, Scott. Happy New Year to you, my man. We'll talk to you soon. Y'all have fun out in Dallas.
All right, Shane. See you, buddy. Happy New Year to you guys.
Scott Carter, join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. We're going to take our second time out of the pro. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Monday edition. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
Hey, Gators. This is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Aver and Smith Personal Injury Attorneys, Orange Theory Fitness, PRP Regeneration Specialist, and Dowling Signs. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. But first, I want to thank JC for joining us and our good friend Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com. Go check out his work. He does a tremendous job covering the Gators in football. Tomorrow's show, we'll have Buddy Martin. But we'll also have Alex Marvez talking a little NFL as well. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you tell all your friends to follow us and like us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by RatSpot. Be safe, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
First and 10. Matthews, near side, wide open, Alonzo Sullivan. He may go. Touchdown, Gators.